Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of my Discipleship Foundations series. This is chapter 57, entitled Sharing the Gospel. Sharing the gospel with others is our most powerful offensive spiritual weapon, and I list it as a spiritual discipline because it is something we should regularly do, even if we don't feel like it. Overcoming our reticence regarding the gospel is one of our greatest challenges. Most people quite naturally talk about what is important, excites, or brings them joy. Jesus said, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Luke 6:45 NASB. If our favorite sports team is doing well, we will probably tell others. If we discover some exciting hobby or pastime, we are likely to freely share it with others because our hearts are overflowing with pleasure, information, or excitement. Likewise, those who curse, complain, encourage, or praise as a regular habit also reveal what fills their hearts. If we're afraid of what others think, say, or might do to us, we may opt to keep quiet about our allegiance to Jesus. This is what happened to Peter the night our Lord was put on trial. Paul exhorted us to overcome any fear or shame that might hinder our testimony. I read now his words to his disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So you must never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am in prison for Christ. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the proclamation of the good news." New Living Translation. When we hold back from sharing our testimony or the gospel message, our allegiance to Christ, there are two additional possibilities of what might be restraining us. Let's look at these two. The first is lack of confidence. We may not feel qualified or knowledgeable enough to engage people with the gospel. Fortunately, this can be overcome by study, practice, and reliance upon the Holy Spirit's help. Secondly, lukewarmness. This may be the most insidious condition of all. It is when we no longer desire God above all else. We may still retain the vocabulary and habits of devotion, but not the heart. The bride of Christ should love her groom and be excited to talk about him with others. Most of us begin our discipleship journey with zeal, but life and circumstances and the distractions of life have a way of dampening our ardor. Jesus detests lukewarmness, which should prompt us to repent. Revelation 3:16. Jesus told us to come to him with a repentant heart. He will work inside us to restore the fire of zeal in our souls. Jesus spoke of lukewarmness in his parable of the sower and the seed. I'll now read from Mark 4, verses 18 and 19. He said, "The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced." New Living Translation. Sharing the good news about Jesus the Messiah is one of the most rewarding ways to spend our time. It glorifies God when we publicly identify with our Lord. It makes it possible for others to come into the family of faith and allows us to participate in the joy of heaven when a sinner repents. The only treasure we can take with us beyond the grave is what God has done in and through us, our works of obedience and faith, and those we lead to the Lord. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:1, he said, "Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please, stay true to the Lord, my dear friends." New Living Translation. Christians are designed and expected to reproduce themselves through sharing the gospel, just as all living things do. Sharing the gospel can be thought of as fishing for people. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus called out to them, his disciples, future disciples. He said, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." No one ever caught a fish without trying, except perhaps when a flying fish jumps into a boat. It is possible to lead a person to Christ almost by accident if they are ready enough. However, most fishing requires time, effort, skill, and expense. If we're not willing to invest ourselves in the process, we will not likely catch many people. Here are some things we can do to get more involved in fishing for people. 1. Pray for family, friends and associates, and neighbors who do not yet know the Lord. Ask God to prepare their hearts and bring people into their lives who will share the gospel. Be ready to be that person. 2. Spend time with people. Call on neighbors. Ask people over to share a meal, coffee, dessert, etc. Take advantage of naturally occurring time spent together to develop friendships. 3. Learn the art of conversation. Often people reveal their needs when we talk, which can open a door to pray or encourage, or maybe even share our testimony or the gospel. Be patient. Do not think we have to close the sale too quickly. Wait for the right time and prompting of the Holy Spirit. If people think we are simply trying to put notches on our gospel gun, they will likely be offended. 5. Make it your goal simply to love people, whether or not they seem open to the gospel. Have you shared your faith lately? Can you think of anyone that you have personally led to Jesus? We will never win the lottery if we never enter it, and we will never lead another person to faith if we never share the gospel. If we have reproduced ourselves through the gospel, how long has it been? Do we need to stir ourselves up again? Today is as good a time to start as any. Why not pray right now that God will open a door for you and then be ready to share? Here is an admonition written by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. He said, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Peter also encouraged us to be vocal about our allegiance to Christ in 1 Peter 3:15, where he wrote, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." NIV. We can make sharing the gospel part of our lifestyle by deciding to prioritize it. This will require us to become gospel fluent by spending time in the study of the key elements of a proper presentation of the gospel. We will look at this in another section. We also need God's anointing and power that come via the baptism in the Spirit. Jesus warned his disciples not to attempt being his witness until this took place. Luke 24:49 says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." NLT. Those first disciples needed this infilling, and so do we. In a future lesson, I will share how to receive this most amazing promise of the Father. In fact, I have written a book on this subject, which is available on Amazon, entitled Promise of the Father. Thank you for listening.